Welcome to Tales from the Long Box Podcast. This is episode 163. Spotlight on DC Comics. New 52, Futures End, number 10, and possibly 11. We'll see how it goes. I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard, hoping for the best.
Yes.
And I am Murray Fox.
Hey, and as we talked about, we're going to go over the weekly series, New 52 Futures End. We're in the middle of the September one-shots. I have read only one so far, but we might catch up on those later.
You're going to like the Batman and Robin one.
I'd heard good things about that one. That's good stuff.
I will tell you, not zero spoilers here, is that nothing about them is 5 years later or 10 years later or 20 years later, whatever.
Yeah.
I think the closest one, and I can't believe I read it, was the Green Lantern one, which was actually really good. So.
Oh really? I kind of miss reading Green Lantern, but they just there's too much change and complete change of direction, complete change of the every single writer-artist combination on every book, and that was just too much, and I didn't like it.
They miss you, too.
I dropped them all. So
they miss you, too.
I just wear my Green Lantern shirt and recharge my life-size battery replica, and then I just reminisce. That's what I do. And I got that Geoff Johns Green Lantern Omnibus on order, so I'll be looking forward to getting that.
What is that?
Oh, they pretty much took his it's on DCBS already. It's like I forget how much it costs. It's like $50 for it's half off or whatever. But it's like this huge volume, and I don't know how many pages it's got, but it collects almost all, if not all, I really don't know, of Geoff Johns' Green Lantern work. All of the Sinestro Corps War, all the one-shots that go along with it, and I think Blackest Night, but I'm not 100% sure. One great, big, huge volume.
Lord, you can kill a human being with that.
Yeah, you can with the JSA one, too, man. I'm telling you, that thing is 1,120-something pages, and it is a monster. It's hard to pick up. When you're too old to pick up your comics, man, that's bad.
Yes,
sir.
Classic.
Yes.
Classic.
It's bad. Yeah, here it is. It's on Amazon, too. Yeah, they got it for $81, but you can get it cheaper on... it's on this month's deal if you want to pre-order it. Now, let's find out how many pages is it. 1,232 pages, boys and girls. 1,232. Okay, so it collects Green Lantern Rebirth, Green Lantern Corps Recharge, Green Lantern number 1 through 25, Green Lantern Corps 14 through 18, Green Lantern Sinestro Corps Special. So, yeah, it's all the Sinestro Corps stuff. Yeah, just Sinestro Corps. Tales of Sinestro Corps Superman Prime and Green Lantern Sinestro Corps Files number 1. Holy crapola.
How many pages is this monster?
1,232 pages. It's even bigger than the JSA one.
So wait a minute. So you are 3-4 weeks behind on your regular monthly, and you're gonna find time to read 1,200 pages of? Oh my god!
I've already read all of it.
Oh my god!
See, I'm consolidating. What I plan on doing is taking. I was gonna sell them, but now with the new job, I don't necessarily have to. So all the trades that I'm getting these big omnibuses. And all the trades that I got that have the same material, I'm going to donate them to the local library.
All right.
So I'm doing it for the kids. That's what I'm doing.
Do it for the kids. you are a giver. You are a giver. Mm-hmm. There's stuff about that.
Yeah. So, that's my plan. I've got almost got a small box full.
Okay.
So, yeah, because I did those. Yeah. I did that with the... Yeah, I'm going to take them to the library. Yeah.
All right.
That's my plan. All right, let's get into this. We got people, things to do, and...
Oh, whatever, people.
The laundry is climbing up, and they're wearing it faster than I can keep it clean, and
inside out.
Oh, hey, that's not a bad idea. I'll have to remember that next time when they complain about not having socks. I was like, we'll just turn it inside out and wear them again. Okay, I like that.
You know what you should do is you buy that Gold Bond spray, and then you smell like you get all minty fresh.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, let's go. I'll do the first one, number 10. Got Azzarello, Giffen, Jurgens, Lemire, Low, Presti, Seibert, and Hi-Fi. We open, and we see the capeless masked Superman. Oh, pardon me. Getting blasted by... He's busting through a wall.
You don't want to comment on that awesome cover?
Oh, wait, what, that awesome cover? It is an awesome cover. It's a Ryan Sook cover.
Ryan Sook cover. Ryan Sook's covers are kicking ass on this series.
I have to agree. They are good. They are good. See, the cover's got Batman Beyond and... is that Plastique now? Yeah. And the key and...
Coil?
That's right. Coil. Electromagnetic guy. Gotcha.
Yeah, he's got twisted.
Well, now I've got kind of a cold, so if I cough, I'll try to mute it before I do it into the. Oh crap! Okay.
Just like you didn't mute it just then.
Yeah,
like
just that one. Yeah. Okay. Here we are. Back to the first page. 5 years from now, Metropolis. So Superman's busting through, and you know, the one with no cape, but a mask. And which we don't know who he is, but I believe they reveal it number 17, which I have not read, so please do not spoil it for me.
Ooh, you don't want to be spoiled. All right, I won't say a word.
Okay, so he's busting through, and he's getting blasted by, I don't know, how many different energies. It makes me think of an old, like the Great Darkness Saga, when the Legion was hitting Darkseid and with all their different powers, but that's what it looks like. So and you get Skrunk!
There's no super karate.
No, there isn't. No, but he says I should have expected this, and he goes through. You got this 2-page deal, and all these lasers. It's an automated defense system in some lab, and it's blasting him. he's saying, "Give it up, Boyer. I know you're here. You think these toys of yours can stop me?" And he's like, ripping stuff out of the wall and punching things, which, you know, that's what Superman's good at, is punching things. You forget who you're dealing with. Get out here. And he's busting things up as he's flying through, and he's going through walls and flying around, and he says, get out here. Make me come find you, and I'll rip your head right off your shoulders. Too late. Hope your friends know what to do with your remains. See, that doesn't sound like Superman at all, does it? He wouldn't even jokingly say that. I'm telling you, that's not our Supes.
Okay, so refresh my memory here. Boyer is the scientist guy that freed Rampage?
Yes.
Yes, that is correct. So he flies up and
he's kind of a douche.
Yeah.
And why? Was he just introduced recently? Or has he been kind of floating from the beginning? Because I totally forgotten what his deal was, but wasn't there 7 or 8.
Unfortunately, I was playing video games and did not reread everything and brush up. So,
okay, so all we know is that he kidnapped Rampage.
She was like a doctor that's got this thing wrong with her, and that's why she turns into Rampage. She's trying to stop that, right?
Yeah,
we don't know his dealio.
Okay, yeah, okay, he's one of the
bad dude.
So, you know, he stops flying around after busting things and says, "Not here, Dan." And he hears from the side, "Superman, what on earth are you doing here?" Which I could ask the same question of, you know, he turns around surprised, and it's Lois Lane.
In a snazzy pantsuit.
Yeah, I have to admit, she's looking very Hillary Clinton right now. you have the entire city on high alert. Now, how did she get there? I don't know. Anyway. He says, "Lois, Boyer disappeared days ago. Figured he might be here." And see, just the way he talks, I know it's not our Cal, man. Anyway, "Here, Superman, are you serious? We're abandoned a genetic experimentation lab long ago. You're the one who told me, in fact. Oh, there you go. It would have been It would have been demolished by now if not for all the toxic waste. And he says, which is why I thought he might be here. Like hiding in plain sight. Uh-huh. Yeah, have to keep looking. See ya. So yeah, I think it's a kid. Anyway, of course. Whatever that has come to mean. So, okay. So now, we're in the Wounded Duck now. New York City. yeah, that's not meta at all, is it? So anyway, so they're in the bar, and it's our trio of miscreants. And one of them says, so are we doing this? Which apparently was the key. So Coyle says, we aren't we yet, Key. Like I said before, the hardest part about breaking into Terrifatech, and you see Plastique's like squeezing her head. He goes, what are you doing? She says, filling my skull. You think it's metal? And she's like smacking herself in the head. Yeah, real smart. As I was saying, standing in long enough to get from... to get what we're there for, it's a problem. And then a guy walks up and, you know, says, you need an inside man? Which, these guys look like they came from a costume contest, because you got the Key, the Coil, and Plastique, and yeah, so, okay. He just walks up and starts talking to him. That's smart. The Key says, I don't think I know what you're talking about, friend. I'm not your friend, and I know you're talking about breaking it. Terrifatech. Cole says, I think you're mistaken. It wouldn't be the first time. And he throws the this hat down, which, if you remember, he was had a fight with Mr. Terrific. He was pretending to be a hobo, and those three were there. So she jumps up and says, you're the bat guy who... Which, all of a sudden, she doesn't have that dark mask thing on her face.
There's a little editing issue, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's kind of blatant, isn't it? Because then you see in the small panel, she doesn't have it either. You're the bat guy, who, and he says, yeah, and, like, she's standing and then she's sitting again. Anyway, doesn't need to be reminded who he is. What you need, though, is me. Because I've been inside T-Tech. And then he takes...
Yeah, we've seen the Wounded Duck.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it's like, the guy behind the bar is just watching all this crap. Anyway, so he uses the suits thing, and he puts a floor plan up. And the Key says, how did you... Well, we know it's Terry. Right, first floor. So he's going over the...
Hold on one second. That first panel there, the one where he said this is the floor plan, that is the weirdest angle.
Yeah, it is a weird angle. It's like up above his head.
I'm trying to twist my head around, and then I realize, then you go to panel two, and it's on the table, but that first panel doesn't...
It looks almost like he's putting it on a wall that's, like, a table that's on the wall.
It's awkward.
Sorry. It's just above. It's bird's eye view.
So anyway...
Yeah, no, in hindsight, I get where it's what we're supposed to be looking at angle-wise, yeah. Anyhow, sorry.
Okay. So he's like, the Key's like, how'd you, and Quill says that bat suit appeared when you mixed it up with Terrific. And he just keeps going, right floor, first floor, second floor, 10th floor. Get it? And now she's got the mask back on, the paint, or whatever that is, with her pink hair thing.
They're probably sunglasses. She's farsighted, so she took them off when she wanted to look at.
Oh, okay, that's it. Yeah, because I mean, her eyeballs are blue too.
And now that she's further away, she's got the specs back on.
So then she says something trying to be trendy kind of sounding. But anyway, what was in your shopping cart? And then that was kind of. Coyle says his grocery, huh? What?
Because she saw herself, right? Like she saw her robot self.
Oh, the shopping cart, of course. I was thinking she was like making some kind of, you know, web shopping joke, but that makes much more sense.
She's on this strip of paper.
Yeah, I don't think she's all there. especially after what she saw. Cole says, his groceries, what the hell's wrong with you, Plastique? Apparently, I don't think they saw the same thing she did, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it does. Her whole storyline here, it almost appears like she's the only one who saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he says, what the hell's going on, period? You buying this, Coil? Coil says, I'm listening. It's a heap of steaming bull? Am I the only one that smells it? Oh, man, come on. This dialogue sucks. Maybe all you need is some fresh air. There's a ledge here on the 22nd floor. How about I point the way? And then he reaches over, grabs his hand. How about I break? And then he just like, seriously, allow me. So anyway, he just knocked him out with a finger. And he's like drooling all over everything. Oh, well, the drinks got spilled.
Oh, party faux pas.
Yeah, I'll get a rag. The bartender, he walks up, watches, says, what you just did? He says, sorry. That was a variation on the Tonga Death Strike. What do you know about the Tonga Death Strike? I know the man who came up with the deathless version. And they're holding onto the towel, like, tugging onto it like dogs. Yeah, this is kind of awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, what is that fighting thing in the knife fight where they tie their wrists together?
And... Yeah, so they're... Yeah, weird. And then, so that we know that's Tim Drake, and he says, as he mentioned to me, he's still holding on to the towel. And Terry lets this let go and walks off. I wouldn't know. And Terry looks over at Plastique and says, can he walk? She says, I think so. And he says, good. I'd like to continue our conversation somewhere else. Yeah, they don't look conspicuous at all. Later...
Well, how are they going to get away? That guy's unconscious.
I don't know. A lot of this has been pretty good, but I found that a little on the awkward side. So they're upstairs, the wounded duck, which apparently he lives upstairs. And he's Madison. Are you still obsessing over Lane's accusations? Cal, what is that all about? You start a conversation like that. Are you still being a total doofus? That sounds better. Anyway, Cal, I thought you were tending bar so you could dig through my stuff. Lois Lane was wrong. Yeah, we got that whole, he is Tim Drake. We know that, but Lois Lane accused him of it in front of her, and she's wondering, so she's snooping around. Yeah, that's great.
Dumper.
Yeah.
Dumper.
Dumper, yeah. It's well-documented fact that the Teen Titans, Red Robin included, were killed by, what were they called? Parademons. She's chasing rumors and ghosts. Maybe so, but... So then he does the, dazzle you with jewelry so you'll shut up trick that, some men know. Anyway. We're all about to hear now, Mad. He's calling her Mad. I was scared to death when you got caught up in Boyer's jailbreak, which is why I got you this. Cal, it's beautiful. I know you lost almost everything, jewelry included, when your dad went to prison. And, and she goes, you are awesome. Yeah, see, you dangle jewelry in front of their face and they just forget about it, at least for a while, anyway.
That's
kind of a dickish move, almost, isn't it?
I know.
So he goes, much as I'd like to see where this conversation goes, I have to get back to the bar. High strung crowd tonight. I'll be down to help in a couple minutes. After I put this on, of course. Yeah, that was kind of weird, wasn't it? Okay, now, we're about in space now, the Huron system.
What are you laughing about?
The Huron system. I just imagine them all paddling canoes.
All around. Okay, so they're on what's left of the satellite of love that the Stormwatch was on. That was a Mystery Science Theater reference. That's what they called the thing they were on. Anyway, you're right. What?
Sneezing. Sorry.
You okay? Okay. So Amethyst walks into Hawkman's office without his... He doesn't have his wings on. She says, you were right, it happens quickly. What? Your arm, the healing is incredible. Yes, the nth metal is incredible in that respect. I just wish the rest of Stormwatch were so lucky. Manamison says, it does make me wonder, though, what is that nth metal your old arm going to do to Frankenstein? All right, let's paraphrase some of this crap, shall we? He says, I don't give a crap about Frankenstein. I'm going to hunt down who did this to Stormwatch. She says, look, you can't, it's not your fault. I want to know what happened to when Jibril was destroyed. I thought it was my fault. He goes, you think I blame myself? Do I look like a man who sits around feeling sorry for himself? Well, yeah, actually, you do. But anyway, I'm a warrior. I didn't do this, but I'm sure as hell going to scour the universe until I destroy whatever did. Understand? I'm sorry. For some reason, I felt like that needed emphasis.
Man, you were having fun with this.
Yeah, I am.
This is how bird people flirt.
I guess so. Because she's like, oh, I understand. I understand that you're as pig-headed and full of yourself as I'd always heard. That's pretty true. And she pulls a sword out, points in his face, which, you know, that's pretty much foreplay for him.
Yeah, she's going to be sitting on nest, hatching eggs by the end of this series.
Yeah, well, and that even... Okay, anyway. Understand that the only reason you ended up here in deep space with Stormwatch in the first place is that Justice League finally got tired of your act. She's still waving the sword in his face. If you ever take that tone with me again, I'll cut your damn beak off. Understand, warrior? And she's like, what the hell, you smart man? I think I just fell in love. So, okay.
Yeah. Isn't he like, I don't know, 50 at this point?
I really don't know. I haven't followed the new 52 Hawkman at all. Because he got so screwed up so quickly. The only thing I do know is he's got that nth metal, and, well, he can heal really good. And you start hearing a beepity-beepity, and she says, what is that? The Stormwatch emergency communicator. We kept these as backup in case the telepathic uplink we all shared went down. Oh. Which, who was the telepath? Pardon me. That was terrible. Who was the telepath?
On Stormwatch?
Yeah, Martian Manhunter was gone.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe he was back on the team. I don't remember. I forgot this is in the future. Why is it going off now? A little late for an emergency beacon. He says, you don't understand. The beacon has been tripped. It means I'm not alone. It means somebody else from Stormwatch survived. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, we're on Cadmus Island, and you got Grifter thinking to himself, and he's thinking... about everything that's happened. Blah, blah, blah. I get here, little girl. Deathstroke is a sociopath. Blah, blah, blah. He's so screwed. Somebody's there. He doesn't know who. And then he gets hit by an invisible foe. It's invisible. Oh, wonderful. Not invisible, just cloaked. So somebody's trying to beat the crap out of him. There might be a couple of them. I don't know. Can't hardly tell. I think it's... I don't know. Anyway, he's thinking, you know, and I'm not looking for trouble. We got anything issue? This is it. Anyway, smacking him through the wall, and he hits one, and it hurts. And it's an Omac. You can see the Mohawk. It's kicking the crap out of him invisibly all over the place. And now he's in the jungle. It's like, at least give me a hint, just what happened. I don't really get this. And then 50 Sue shows up, which is like my least... She is my new Superman or Superboy Prime right now, my most hated character in the DC Universe.
You will come to like her. She improves.
Does she?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I need to read through the series again and start from the beginning.
She's totally a Giffen character.
CC, da, 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 in case you're wondering, it was an OMAC. Here's your chance to impress me, huh? Need you some medical attention. Down to, now the game's afoot. You just got interesting. That makes no sense. I don't know.
Well, up till now, she's been like super bored with Grifter. She just thinks he's someone who's going to come between her and Deathstroke. She's got a good thing going with Deathstroke. This dude's just a boring nothing. But now, somebody wants him out of the way. Some invisible dude is punching him, so she's, like, interested. Yeah. There's more going on with him.
That makes sense.
Than just nothing.
Okay, let's try to... We're way behind here. Okay, so we're in a soup kitchen, St. Christopher's house. You got this huge lady is serving food to the homeless and being thanked, and this little girl's watching. You gonna eat that, sweetheart? Hmm? Your food. No, you can have it. I'm not hungry. And she's, like, watching this chick. So the big chick, the Amazonian type person, and the younger girl is following her, and they get into a fight. So are you watching me? Stop it, I'm a friend. I don't have any friends anyway. So, yeah, long story short, she's not with the Global Peace Agency, but the little kid knows she's Big Barter, and she brought her outfit. She says, I need barter. Oh, is that it? Crap. I hit the wrong button. Oh, yeah, that is the last one. Okay, we're not doing too bad.
Yeah. That's the cliffhanger. Big Barda is back.
Then you got a new Teen Titans, new Teen Titans thing. I don't care. All right, somebody else take 11. My voice is getting rough.
Your voice is dying. All righty.
Jump in.
11 here. What do we have here? We've got a cover with all the, I guess, the Justice League. In on.
That looks like Zat. No, oh. That's that Indian chick in the background. And what do they call that guy with the?
I believe she prefers the term native.
Oh well, excuse me. My bad.
Isn't it Equinox?
Yeah.
So I think you're right.
And so we got the Justice League. Well, but sorry,
Murray. Did you know she was Canadian?
I kind of heard that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. She's Canadian. Did you know that, man?
I knew that. We knew that before you knew that. She's been our little scout up until a couple months ago, but she's got books up here like you would not believe. Her series is into the 400s right now.
Get out of here.
They didn't reboot her?
No rebooting.
Yeah, they forgot to.
Anyway, we got a cover here with the Justice League, and they're looking on at Ronnie Raymond having an argument with, I don't know who that is, one of the Justice League
dudes. Oh, I think that's Arsenal.
Oh, maybe.
That's what he looks like now, or Red Arrow.
Yeah. Anyway, they're arguing because Ronnie Raymond, is just gross.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, he's gross.
Yeah, he's a man whore.
Oh, he's worse. He's like, oh, he's gross. Anyway, we open up with, let me see. First couple of pages, we've got Grifter's pal from earlier in the series. I guess his computer techie pal or something.
Sure. Call him Microchip.
Microchip, there we go. He's waking up.
Never mind, that's a Punisher reference. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I totally lost
all. Oh, that's George Janty art.
Yeah, George Gentes is on the art, and he does not have. While dude is getting ready, in the background there's like I forgot what this is. There's like some sort of. Oh, he's tied up. Never mind.
Oh yeah, that's like an alien type thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those aliens that Grifter was locating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's got an alien captured, and he's doing a little bit of torture. Cause
well, it's a little torture among friends, though, right?
Among friends and aliens, that's right.
Oh yeah, aliens, it's okay.
Anyway, the aliens reminding the dude that he's supposed to go into hiding, go on the run if Grifter is out of contact for a certain amount of time, and he's been. Out of contact for that length of time, but nerdy dude does not feel Grifter's dead. He just feels like, for whatever reason, he's incommunicado. And the alien is like, "Yeah, you've shot me, you've electrocuted me, you've sliced me, you've diced me, I've burnt. Is there anything you haven't done?" And he shoots. The alien is like kind of taunting him. You know, you've done everything you can to me. The only thing you haven't done is infect me. And And the nerd is like, well, it's not my fault, you're too stupid to die, and then he shoots his head right off of the alien, or right through the alien, I guess.
Wow.
And then once, I know, he's violent.
Yeah, rage much?
And then
much?
He just leaves the building, I know. He runs through the wall with some of his techie devices, I guess. Knapsack.
I think that's probably a false wall.
Could be.
You know, I blame violent video games for that. That's what I blame.
Very Duke Nukem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what I blame. Misspent youth.
After killing the alien, however, Nerd Boy concedes that the alien had a point. He has waited too long to cut and run. So he is doing that now. He's cutting, he's running, and he's saying, just let her be sober. Just this once, I'll give her the rest of the time, but just this once. And we're not quite sure who he's talking to yet, but he's knocking on the door, and the door opens, and we meet, what's her name?
It's Voodoo.
It's Voodoo. That's who we meet.
He even Voodoo. Says right there, hey, Voodoo.
Yeah. And Voodoo has agreed to take him in if Grifter ever goes missing. And she's grumpy about it. She's thinking, she's having second thoughts, but, she said she'd do it, so she's going to take him in. At the moment, she's, like, beaten up.
Probably drug dealers, I would imagine,
Anyway, so that's kind of cool, because I wasn't expecting to see Voodoo in the series, and
I've forgotten about it, to tell you the truth.
Here she is. Ta-da. Here she is. Mm-hmm. So she will slowly get worked in. Slowly, because I don't think she appears again for...
No, I don't remember that at all. Of course, I am 3 or 4 issues behind, too, so...
Anyway, kind of cool. She's here.
Now, Voodoo was one of your series when the whole reboot happened, I thought,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I liked it for the first couple of issues and stuff. Mm. And then it kind of went off the rails, but...
Yeah, a lot of the 52 stuff has, hasn't it, though?
We head back out into space where we meet Frankenstein, Hawkman, and Amethyst, and they're flying away, heading towards the little beacon that Hawkman realized was still blinking away last shoot. Ray Palmer is off on his own in another spaceship, kind of tracking their movements. Basically, this scene is just, it's set up. It's a setup scene. It establishes that something's going on with Frankenstein now that he's got Hawkman's arm attached to him. The Nth metal is doing something to his system. They advance that subplot a little bit, and then they head towards wherever the beacon is beaconing them.
Uh-huh. A little joke there.
That's okay. They're up to the trap.
A little joke there. It's like Dr. Frankenstein was so eager to put me together, he forgot to attach my funny bone. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Anyway, go ahead.
I love Frankenstein. He's a good character.
Yeah, I kind of like it too.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he does crack a joke, and Amethyst asks him, how long did it take you to think that one up? And he says, about 207 years, I believe. She gives him a ruby, and she says, nope, it's really a bloodstone. The weaponers of the gem world use these, and Hawkman's like, magic, I hate magic. And Amethyst explains that was her home world, that we get a little bit of insight into why the gem world is no more. So she says there's...
Why she's so hexy looking?
Oh, yeah, who used up... Used up the chaos of the evasion as a cover to attack Gemworld and make it his own. She wasn't able to stop them. She wasn't strong enough. And so the Gemworld fell, and she presumably got a bad haircut and scarred face.
She did get a bad haircut. It's very...
It's ridiculous. Like, either go full-on buzz cut or let it go in. Ugh. It's gross.
Not a fan, huh?
No, isn't she magic? Can't she, like, magically make her hair grow? One would think that's, like, a minor spell that's not going to suck up too much energy.
Well, she has said multiple times that her magic is... her voodoo ain't so good right now.
Okay, but come on. A little speedy spell.
Well, her voodoo is not the voodoo that she does so well.
Oh.
I laugh at my own jokes. That's so sad.
Ain't no excuse for that. She could get extensions. She knows where to get extensions in the real world, even if her magic isn't working.
So she, basically, she's got a comb over to cover up the, you know, the scarry.
It's gross. Anyway, they're following the beacon, and of course, it is a trap. Their ship is shut down. They come crashing.
Admiral Akbar wasn't there to let them know that, though, but...
I know. nobody's really hurt, and they crawl out of the ship and find themselves in this giant... I don't know, a giant crater on a planet.
Yeah, but it's got...
like a metallic crater.
I'm thinking of like a big built into the Earth satellite dish kind of thing, but
yeah, it kind of yeah, it's definitely
except for it's not Earth.
It is the Death Star.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the big laser thing. They better get out of there.
However, we're not going to see them right now because we're jumping to New York City.
Oh, New York City.
Where we go to Terrific Tech. Where we're seeing Mr. Terrific.
I like this guy's art.
It's not bad. I don't mind it, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I read that season 8 of that Buffy. I read that whole thing, and he was in did the art for all of that. And it was it was really good. Well, until Metzler got a hold of the series, and then it was freaky. But I like the art anyway. So anyway, go ahead.
There we go. Okay, so Mr. Terrific is getting ready to do a talk show, I think. Yes, he's not sure that he's doing the right thing, but Mr. Terrific says he's not going to give in to fear. That cyborg that he found is based on technology that's only theoretical at this point, which means that our bat dude is more than meets the eye. He's not a thief, he's a threat.
Damn it. So, I was going to use that name.
Uh-huh. That dude.
That yeah, dude.
I think it's cool. Anyway, never mind.
Didn't you see him? That dude, like on a surfboard or
yeah,
skateboard?
That'd be kind of cool. Seems like I saw Adam West Batman with surfer shorts surfing one time. And he had to use the shark repellent there before, the bat shark repellent before it was.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
No, that's right. Yeah, he did say that, didn't he? Some days you just can't get... That's hilarious. I haven't seen that in ages. Anyway, go ahead.
Mr. Terrific's going on TV to kind of flush the future Batman out into the system. His lady friend thinks that Mr. Terrific thinks that the Bat guy is after the use sphere, but Mr. Terrific says, no, I don't really think so. But then he's got another plan going. So the interviewer is like, we're back with Terrific, who's saying that the user, the next tech breakthrough we can't get our hands on or over our shoulders, is in jeopardy. How's that possible? And then Mr. Terrific shows this image of the bat guy from the future defeating folks, punch them up. And he points the finger at the bat dude and he says, this man is dangerous. He's an alien. Maybe. He's an enigma. Either way, he's playing that whole Earth 2 card, so it's like, we know that, we know we're from our world, we don't know what world this dude's from, so clearly he's someone that we should be watching and afraid of. Because right now, the DCU is totally petrified of anyone who's not from the Earth, DCU Earth, regular Prime, Earth Zero.
I'm not really sure he's from Earth 1.
Mr. Terrific?
Or New Earth or whatever. Yeah, I'm not really sure. Because he doesn't act like the one that got shunted over.
Well, it's been 5 years. He's had 5 years to...
become an asshole?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. One small step at a time.
Yeah, okay.
Along asshole road.
I've known some people who had taken a lot less time than that, so...
Well, this is true. Yep, you were correct.
We zip over to the Madagascar Sea for something new, I guess. Like a new character's introduced.
No,
so,
that character's been on there before. It's just been a long time since we saw it.
Oh, okay, so reintroduced. So there's this red dude who kind of looks Kirby tech-ish.
Yeah. Was that... That was the thing that was unleashed. They were at the... Some group was at some temple, and it had a bunch of symbols of Brainiac on it. But then Brainiac's in another part in space. Brainiac.
Different part of the story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that it was...
He's totally connected.
I don't know if that's been covered yet in here, now that I think about it. Yeah, continue.
This dude comes down and blows up a ship. Rather violently.
Yes, that thing was the first shown cover of issue number 8. It was actually on the cover.
Oh.
So two issues ago. Okay, continue. Three issues ago.
Bad dude.
Yeah, he is a bad dude. That is true.
Another not covered storyline.
Yeah.
The storylines in this series seem to drop in and drop out.
Yeah, it's. I don't think it's as smooth as the 52 weekly series was, but
I think what we have to bear in mind is that they have four writers, just like they had on 52, and they're probably fitting. You know, okay, Lemire is saying, okay, well, I'm going to write two issues, you know, between issues of Justice League or whatever, and publish those. My storylines. Here's what I care about, and I don't give a crap about.
Yeah, they might be even just turning in pages, and they might be doing their story linear all at one by one, and they turn in pages, and then whoever's running this show decides which pages go in which issue, too.
Yeah, I'm curious how they're putting it together and how they're dividing up the responsibilities, because there are with 52. There were some stories that would vanish for a week or two, but over the course of the month, you would get all the stories kind of cycling through, whereas here, we're losing stories for weeks and weeks at a time, and then and they pop back in.
Yep.
Now, the breaking into Terrifitech story, boy, did that take a
month.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, some stories they focus on endlessly, like I could do without breaking into Terrifitech for a week or two. And then other stories are dropped for, like, weeks and weeks. However, and I forget what's going on. Yeah, however, right now...
I don't give a crap about the Lois Lane story, for instance, but... So when it rears its ugly head again, it's like, oh, that's right.
Right. Really, all that is she's being used to deep in the Superman mystery, who is he?
Yeah.
And eventually she'll find her way to Cadmus Island, and all the stories will start to interconnect. But at this point, that's kind of all her story is. She's pushing the plot forward.
Agreed.
It's nice to see her, but there's not a whole lot going on in that story. Anyway, we jump up to the JLA headquarters, way up above the Earth. And Ronnie Raymond has just been zapped up into the headquarters.
It's like when they transported Dr. McCoy in Star Trek The Motion
Picture. Yeah.
That's right. So Ronnie Raymond was hanging out in the strip joint, and now he's in the JLA headquarters. And we meet the JLA of 5 years later, and it's got Cyborg and... What's his name?
I forget
Storm,
what his name
is. Storm...
Stormguard, that's it, yeah. Well, I thought it was going to be Star Spangled Kid with that motif of his, but obviously not.
We got Aquaman, we got the Superman, we got Wonder Woman, Equinox, Red Arrow or Arsenal, we got Flash, and they're all telling Ronnie, you know, you've got a responsibility, you and Jason have to become Firestorm, it's time to step up, and... Ronnie points at Jason and says, "You're behind all this." And Jason's like, no way. After you kidnapped me and held me prisoner in the Firestorm Matrix for issues on end, I am never, ever, ever becoming Firestorm again.
Issues on end.
Okay, I'm paraphrasing, but really, like, that's got to be terrible. Like, stuck in this nowhere limbo while, what a gross, gross, gross thing. Anyway, they're fighting. They want Firestorm back. And Johnny figures that Jason's told him everything, that he's showed them all what a douche Raymond has been, and Jason hasn't said a word. He's like, I haven't said a word about what you did to me. I haven't said a word about any of the other things. And Ronnie suddenly realizes, oops, he said too much. Said too much, and they turn on Jason and they say, you know what, you got to start talking. Tell us what's going on. And Jason says, nope, it's not my story to tell. You want to know what's going on, you got to ask Ronnie Raymond.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun. So they turn on Ronnie Raymond, and they figure out that Green Arrow died because of Raymond. And they start to get all grumpy. And Flash is like, remember, we're supposed to be doing this to bring Firestorm back. Maybe this is not the right way to go. And Cyborg says, maybe we should call Zatanna and mind wipe him. And Flash is like, let's not go there. So clearly, someone remembers Identity Crisis. Whether it happened in 52 or not, or in the new 52, he gets that's a bad deal.
Is it my imagination? I mean, I it's hard to tell because he's masked and stuff, and it's probably an artist's interpretation, but the Flash looks young.
He does look really young.
And he looked young, actually, in the Futures Beyond.
Well, one thing about this guy's art, everybody looks young, really.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, even though it's only 5 years later, they're still, like, maybe late 20s then. Like, it's only 5 years. These are all supposed to be young people, but...
But he's, like, he's a police detective. I mean, I don't know. I'm impressed.
He looks very much like a kid, like a teenager, like a... Like a kid Flash.
And maybe it's not very young. We don't know. So sorry.
Yeah, that's true. We don't really know, do we?
Anyway, they keep talking to Ron, asking what's going on, and eventually he says, look, it's my fault. We didn't get to Seattle in time to help Ollie. I ignored Jason's calls. I was busy. You do not get to judge me. I didn't sign up for life 24/7 sacrifice. And he's alluding to the fact that his mom died in this alien invasion in Pittsburgh. He figured he could have saved it, but the Justice League wanted him to save places that were considered more important, more bigger priorities. So he did that, and his mom died, and now he's like beating himself up about it. And they want to talk to him and make him feel better, and he's like nope, forget it. I've had enough. I'm gone. And he teleports away. And Red Arrow's like, that's fine, we're good without him. And Jason says, you know what, you're going to have to find a replacement. You found a replacement for Oliver Queen, so now it's time to find one for Firestorm. And he walks off, and we don't see Firestorm again for issues and issues. I mean, that's the end of the issue there, but that could be the end of Firestorm's involvement in this series right now, or they could...
I don't know, then if... Why go through all that to just end it? I'm sure there'll be something come up where they'll bring them together.
It could be, but it's going to be... It's at least 7 or 8 before we see it happen, because it's...
Yeah.
Nothing... I'm up to date almost, and we don't see Firestorm again for all those issues, so... He's gone for now. Boom, boom, boom. But you're... He'll probably pull him back in.
Yeah.
He's like Al Pacino in The Godfather.
Mm-hmm. I like that little... Cyborg says that thing. Maybe we should call Zatanna and mind wipe him. I'm like, oh, dude, you didn't go there. And Flash says, do not go there. Yeah.
The quality in the script on this one was much better than the quality in the script on number 10. There's no
problem. I agree, totally.
And actually, the last two issues of the, you know, I know you're not caught up, Chris, but the last two issues, the quality has been really good, script-wise.
Good, good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to read the whole thing over today.
Yeah, like by the...
Get caught up and stick with it.
How long are we? Issues...
20 just came out.
Yeah, so by 16, 17, 18, we start to see... I think, like, the Earth 2 invasion starts to take prominence, and we get a few more characters pulled in, and it's... I'm Okay, I'm digging that part. I'm interested in seeing what's on in Cadmus Island with these prisoners. These Earth 2 prisoners.
Yeah, because Earth 2 World's End is going to start soon, doesn't it?
October, which is just around the corner. It's a
couple weeks away. Sweet.
Along with the JLU annual.
Yes, yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Which, God willing, will be much better than the JLU Futures annual Justice End issue.
Yeah, I looked through that, but I haven't read it, and I don't know, that didn't look as good as the other.
Part one I enjoyed, part two I did not.
I enjoyed neither parts.
Right, there you go.
Well, hopefully it'll get better for the ender, by the end.
Not as annoying as Multiversity, but...
Oh, come on.
Come on now.
See, I think...
I'm going to start singing and make my way over to Arizona.
I think maybe why I enjoyed it so much is I didn't... I don't know. I just decided, hey, I'm not going to try to understand this and enjoy it. But then I actually did... you know, I understood it okay.
Do you know what the key there is?
What?
Not thinking. And that's
yeah, like, just under. Reading, yeah.
Well, I like to put thought into my purchases, so, anyhow. But that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah. This is true.
I need to take notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to find a site that's got all that crap on there.
Ooh, there's a good
idea. It's going to do the work for you. Excellent. Good stuff.
Yeah, if somebody actually... I'm sure somebody's done it already.
Think for me.
I'm looking forward to that secret society, the Society of Superheroes or something.
I liked it.
Yeah.
You mean the Multiversity Society of Superheroes Conquerors from the Counterworld.
Yes, that's it. That's the one.
Is that the one you're talking about? Just checking.
That's the one I'm talking about, man.
Awesome. Yep. Well, can Doc Fate and the SOS thwart the invasion from a nightmarish parallel planet? Sorry. I'm done. That's it.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad.
I haven't read it. I'm talking about the bookend. It's all...
The bookends? Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's wrap this up. Oh, I didn't make it. Oh, sorry. Oh, I was up all night with the kids last night. Yeah, I was watching them. My sister went and had fun, had her birthday, so we stayed up late and watched movies. I'm tired.
All right, it's Sunday. Go back to bed.
Okay, I got laundry to do. It's laundry chain started. Toot toot. Anyway, let's wrap this up. As always, you can send us an email at Tales from the Long Box Podcast. Let's start that all over again. Mm-hmm. Podcast at talesfromthelongbox.com. My goodness. And you can join us on Facebook on just do a search for that, your favorite podcast on, well, maybe not your favorite podcast, but our podcast on Facebook, and you will find us there. And also, you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think. And by the way, I don't know if I told you guys, but one of the people that I added to the group recently friended me first, and one of the things he said was he was a big fan of our podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
I can't remember the guy's name right off the top of my head.
That's not cool, man.
What do you mean?
I can't remember his name.
Well, I'll look it up. One second. Hold on. Ah, Bill Zanowitz. That's the one. He just showed up on my feed. Yeah. Apparently, he's got one of his own. But he's... anyway, he said he was a big fan. So that was cool. Haven't heard that in a while. And I was glad to hear it. So anyway, and as always, we'll see you next week. And we are out.